Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing?
Good.
All right, welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. Today is the second Sunday in Advent. Again, it's our yearly reminder, particularly in the liturgical calendar. All right, it's a time of newness, and we're filled with expectation, right, for the birth of the Christ child. But for us, you know, it's also a time of preparing our hearts, all right, for the coming of Christ. Okay. So in light of that, here at Neighbors of Hope, we tend during the Advent season do some Advent studies to kind of prepare our own hearts and spirits, be a little more contemplative and reflective on the magnitude of the birth of Christ, as well as what's our current spiritual stance before Christ in preparation for Christ's return. Okay. So our scripture text that we selected for today's edition of Word Made Flesh comes from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. Should be somewhat familiar to our listening audience. Eric, would you be so kind as to read that?
The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, every warrior's boot used in battle, and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, initial thoughts, comments, questions. What jumps out at you? Just kind of want you to feel like you need to break into Handel's Messiah?
Yes. I don't know. I think for me, I look at this idea of bondage, I guess. If you look at the understanding, like, if you look at the literal yoke of, like, you know, of an ox, I guess. And like it's this shackle, it's this locked in kind of thing, and then to when you're released from that, you know, and like you're free from that slavery. So I guess I have to look at myself and look at what am I bonded to? What am I enslaved to in my life? You know, what keeps me distracted from my real purpose and really following Christ? And so I have to, and then eventually I have to, you know, I have to remove my clothes from that. I remove my armor, you know, and being in the military, I remove my armor so I'm vulnerable because I keep this armor on to try to protect myself. But when I remove it, I'm vulnerable now to being hurt, and I have, like, you kind of have to be to really follow Christ's, you know, purpose for us.
That's good.
First came to my thoughts when I first read that.
Yeah. Yeah. Were you going to say anything?
About burdens. I like what you said, but it's not necessarily, let's not shake off all burdens. It brings to mind Matthew 11. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. So we take off these shackles and the burdens of the world, and we put on the shackles and burdens of Christ. And this, it is an invitation for more, to struggle more, to suffer more, but for a cause that's greater than yourself, to elevate others. That's what I see Christ's yoke as. It's a yoke of service to everybody. Everybody I see.
Good. Good. Interesting. All right. How about you, big fella?
I like the way that God writes. Like, there's this proclamation of light. There's this proclamation of, like, positivity. But there's also the rollback of, you know that big pile of garbage and baggage from the wars that we've had to fight? The big bag of garbage from our past, from our sin, from our addiction. You know all that stuff that burns and makes you wince when you look at it? I'm going to take that away in this. Like, this whole process is going to write all those things. Like, you're still going to have, they're still going to be there. They're going to become fuel for the fire, though. Like, I just think that's beautiful, that way that God doesn't necessarily take your junk, but allows you to transform it through Him. I don't know, I think that's pretty, that way that that happens. You know, every warrior's boot used in battle, and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. To us a child is born. This whole transformation of negativity to positivity, the whole transformation of being lost to, like, hey, look, the kingdom is right here. Just stumbled upon it. It's beautiful.
You got anything you want to share?
Sure. I mean, picking up on what all of you have said so far, there's great oppression, and the context of which this is written is some of the greatest oppression. And then there's a promise of what's to come, so there's hope there. But the last line is really what that you read is what appeals to me. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. It's not in our strength. It's not anything we can do. It's a gift. It's God's grace. And maybe the biggest challenge I think we encounter as we try and overcome our addictions is even once we recognize them, we tend to go on our own strength instead of letting God fill that gap, because we can never do it ourselves.
Yeah, so many times when we kind of do reflections and studies on addiction in our life change program, I'll rephrase how, you know, addicts tend to say, somebody confronts them and says, I can handle this. I got this. All right? Despite the fact that the evidence to the contrary is mounting, all right? Because there seems to be this propensity to be masters of our own creation, all right? It is the zeal of God. It is a grace thing. I think part of the challenge that comes out of here, I love the way, you know, three of you spoke on kind of personalizing that. We should be, that's part of the Advent spiritual journeys, to look inward. You know, what am I embodied to? But the invitation is to, okay, this is a nice little picture. I know the Assyrians are probably, you know, really having their way with you, you Israelites, for a long time. But much like the angel appears to Joseph or Mary and says, look at, you know, something good's going to happen. Well, here's Isaiah saying, well, it's not going to be like that forever. You know, one is coming, right? And maybe in the context historically with Assyria, that could have, you know, King Hezekiah after Ahab establishes a certain government there. And then we look, because a lot of things happened thereafter, and, you know, here it is. Here's Christ, who really brings us a new way that is contrary to the way of the oppressor, right? It is a God work, But shame on us if we just sit back and let God do all the work. All right? Because much like Jesus, God's looking for, you know, some partners. As Paul says, to be co-laborers in this new creation, this transformation of creation. All right? So we have to. And if we're going to do that, if we're going to be a partner, we do need to look at work. All right? We do. And so the real challenge is, do we really trust it? Do we have faith that God is moving in an alternative way to what maybe our eyes see visibly within our certain structures? All right? Do we still trust that? And if we do trust that, does our lives, are our lives in alignment with that trust? All right. You're going to say something?
Yeah, because I think we talk about where do we sit, you know, on the throne with them.
Yeah.
And so we're sitting on a throne, that means we're royalty in that sense. So as part of the royal family, you have an obligation to take care of the kingdom. And so are we doing that? Are we doing what we're supposed to? Are we really following that?
So if you're a member of royalty, you have an identity and a purpose. Plain and simple. And sometimes we don't necessarily, well, I don't want to, right? We can whine and complain like the Hebrews in the desert and all that stuff. And that may be times where we try to become masters of our own creation. I got this and I can handle this and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and God must just shake God's head. My son, right? It is, but we do. There's great hope that comes out of this. And that's why every year on Christmas Eve, churches throughout this planet, all right, will be gathering to retell the story of the great hope, you know, that comes to God's creation through God's Son. Right? And we're challenged once again. We in or out? We in alignment? And if so, then we have to do some self-reflection to kind of clean house on anything that may be prohibiting or hindering our alignment with that. And I love the idea of really trying to capture the magnitude of this great light. Right? And the only way we can see how great it is we have to turn around and see how dark it is. And it may be dark around us, but as you were saying, it may be dark within us. So it's not just one or the other. It has to be both. All right? And to some degree, we have to clean the darkness out of ourselves so that, this little light of mine, right? We can let our light shine in the midst of the darkness. So, all right, any closing thoughts, comments? Well, thank you, John. I appreciate you joining us on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. Until we meet again, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you always.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farm Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and of course our radio ministry, Word Made Flesh. We're also in the process of establishing a Women's and Children's Transitional Housing Program. Find out how you can become a Neighbor of Hope at neighborsofhope.com. And please join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.